I like Mother's Day because it gives me the opportunity to remind my mom of how much of a gift that I truly am. No. My mother is a saint. Also my wife. We are continuing in our sermon series this morning, Questions Jesus Asked. So we are picking up in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 7. We're going to be reading 7:36 and going just a little bit into chapter 8. So 7:36 through 8:3. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, saying to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Soon afterward, he went through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you just for the many examples that you have given us to demonstrate your love. I thank you for this day that we recognize mothers who are a reflection of your love. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we dive into this passage, that you would be opening our eyes and our hearts and our minds to all that you have to teach us, that you'd be helping it to come alive in our lives in new ways. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would see your goodness and your wisdom in the world around us. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So Mother's Day is a holiday that comes with a mixture of emotions for many people. That it is a joyous occasion where we recognize the mothers in our lives, and then we are all—we're thankful that we have moms, or the women who have stepped into our lives and played the roles of a mom, whether that was a teacher or a neighbor or somebody from church. But then we also recognize that Mother's Day at times can be difficult for some. Maybe you have lost a mother or a child. Maybe infertility has been part of your story. Maybe you are tired of answering the questions of when are you going to have children? And so many of us come to Mother's Day with this mixture of emotions, and some of them pretty strong emotions. And the woman that we meet in this passage today similarly arrives at the feet of Jesus in a flood of emotion. Joy, sorrow, pain, shame. So as we approach Mother's Day, let's take a little bit closer look at this passage. So we find Jesus at the home of Simon, a Pharisee. And we're not told exactly why Simon has invited Jesus into his home. There's a lot of good guesses. It was customary for Pharisees to invite other teachers into their homes. It was customary to invite notable people to your home, especially if you were a person of prominence. Simon would have been a person of prominence, of wealth. It would have been customary for Simon to invite people of note, people worth listening to, into his home. Dinner would have been served in an inner courtyard, and the doors would have kind of been left open so that people, even who were not invited, would have had the freedom to kind of come in and listen. Because Simon, being a Pharisee, his entire life was devoted to teaching people about the Word of God. And so Simon, as he invited Jesus to be his guest, this is another representation of that, of Simon living out his life in such a way that others might come to know and understand Yahweh more. And so it's this in this context that we find Jesus. So Simon is doing some things that are customary, but then he also missed out on some other things that are very customary. It would have been part of the custom that when you had a guest of honor, that you would have had their sandals removed, that their feet would have been washed, that you would have greeted them with a kiss to indicate that they were a person of importance to you. Not a romantic kiss, but a friendly, welcoming kiss. You would have anointed them with oil to indicate that there's a blessing upon them. But Simon didn't do any of this. He didn't ask for any of this to have been done. And this is not merely an oversight. This is in a culture where this was the way of life. It wasn't simply something that you forgot about, that you neglected to do. This was something that Simon most likely would have been pretty intentional about. It was an insult to who Jesus was. And so Simon, you could even say he's treating Jesus with this callous, calculated contempt. Maybe for the purpose of mocking Jesus or putting Jesus on public display, trying to expose Jesus in some way. This is not the first time that the Pharisees have sought to trick Jesus or put him on the spot or make him discredit him in some way. But Jesus, being who Jesus is, seemingly doesn't mind. He doesn't act any differently in the house of Simon. It says that he is reclining at the table, which is the normal posture that one would have taken at the table. Imagine a group of friends sitting around enjoying a meal together, and everyone has kind of just entered that relaxed stage. that you've kind of maybe moved beyond that stage of that formality where you feel like you have to sit up straight or, have your napkin just right. And you've moved into that portion where the conversation has picked up. And you're just kind of eating as you're talking. And this is where kind of the picture that we have of Jesus is that he's relaxed. He's enjoying the company that he is with. And seemingly, the people are enjoying being in his company. And then the scene changes drastically. Out of the shadows emerges this woman. And by description, it refers to her as a sinner. One of two possibilities. Either she was married to a notorious sinner or she was herself, in fact, a prostitute. Most commentaries, old and new, believe that it was the latter, that she was a prostitute, and she had somehow made her way into this Pharisee's home, which was not okay. So yes, strangers were invited to come in, but not somebody like her, not a single woman, and especially not a woman of ill repute. It would have been viewed just as being taboo. It was not something that a single woman would do, is to walk into a Pharisee's home, and especially not one who was a known sinner. And we don't know exactly how this woman came to know who Jesus was. Maybe she had heard him teaching. Maybe she had seen miracles performed. Maybe she had seen him do something amazing for a friend of hers. But whatever the case, whatever drew her there to Jesus, she came with this overwhelming sense of gratitude and knowledge of who he was. And so she comes with this expensive bottle of perfume. And she recognizes that no one has taken the time to honor Jesus as his special guest. And so she pours this expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And overcome with emotion is weeping at the feet of Jesus. And maybe out of embarrassment or whatever, recognizing that she's weeping on the feet of Jesus, she seeks to clean off her tears. And so she takes down her hair and she begins to wipe the feet of Jesus, washing them. And it's this powerful, intimate display of love. But in the Jewish culture, it was even more than that. For a woman to let down her hair was something that only a husband was supposed to see. According to Jewish law, that a woman letting down her hair in the presence of a man that wasn't her husband was the same as exposing her nakedness to a man that wasn't her husband. And so this woman, is using this intimate connection with Jesus, what is available to her, revealing all of who she is in gratitude to her Savior. And it naturally evokes this response from the crowd. And Jesus, he senses this. He knows exactly what is going on. He knows exactly what is going on in the heart of this woman. He knows exactly what's going on in the heart of Simon. And so when Simon says, "Do you know who this woman is who touches you?" Of course Jesus knows. And Simon, he uses this word, touch. And he uses, it's a crass word. A crass word. And so Simon is attempting to overly sexualize what this woman is doing. He's trying to draw this woman's past into the present. But this woman's display was not meant to be erotic or sexual in any way. It was meant to be a beautiful outpouring of just how grateful she was to be at the feet of Jesus, who was welcoming her, who was pushing away her past and saying that you are washing my feet, but I will make you clean. And so Jesus responds to Simon with this parable of two men who owe money, one who owes 500 and one who owes 50 denarii, which is a denarii is equivalent to a day's wages. So one man owes 50 days worth of work, another owes 500. A significant difference, but a lot of money in either case. And Jesus says that the person that they owe the money to forgives them because they are unable to repay the debt. And he asks the question, which one do you think is more grateful? And Simon, you know, kind of backed into a corner, almost begrudgingly answers, well, I suppose the one who owed more. And Jesus says, you are correct. That this is right, that those who understand or a greater appreciation of how much has been forgiven are far more grateful. And so this woman, she came to Jesus. She was broken. She was guilty. Everywhere that she went, she was looked down upon. She lived a life of shame. And so this idea of her letting her hair down was nothing new for her. It was part of her daily process. And so she came to Jesus exactly how she was. Broken. Full of sin. Regret. Shame. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. You see, in Jesus' parable, the important thing to remember is that both individuals owed a great debt. Both of them were unable to pay the debt on their own. Both of them needed to be released from their debt. And so Jesus, he's trying to communicate a couple of things here to Simon and to us. One, that there isn't that big of a difference between this woman and you. That you might only owe me 50 and she owes me 500, but you can't pay your debt just as much as she can't pay hers. And he's also trying to communicate to Simon, do you not understand how much is being given to you as I am offering you forgiveness? And when you grasp the significance of that, the significance of that forgiveness, you approach the feet of Jesus with thankfulness. Now, recently I saw on social media, it was a post, and it said, if there is an appreciation day for your profession, chances are you're not being paid enough. And I think that there's probably no profession where that applies more so than motherhood. That it is very natural that we have an appreciation day for moms, because they are undervalued and underappreciated, sometimes even unseen. But Jesus, so much of his ministry on earth was about seeing those who were unseen, appreciating those who were unappreciated, and valuing those who were undervalued. valued. Jesus welcomed them, he loved them, he forgave them, and he moved them forward and closer into relationship with him. You know, I read beyond this passage of the woman washing the feet of Jesus into chapter 8 because I wanted to highlight the women there. That it highlights the women, and it says that they paid, they helped pay for the disciples' way out of their means. This is a group of women, it says, who had demons cast out of them. So this is a group of women who probably didn't have the highest standing in society. I mean, if they had been living with demons in them, they would have just have left a life of uncleanliness. But it's these women who are funding the ministry of Jesus. And I highlight that just because it's a reminder that amongst all of those undervalued, underappreciated, unseen people, that today it's important for us to recognize that at that time, women were those people, but Jesus saw them. Jesus made sure that everyone knew that they were part of his ministry. And so some of you might be wondering, well, where does that leave us and what does all of this have to do with Mother's Day? Well, my encouragement for mothers this morning is to look a little bit more like that woman who came to the feet of Jesus. And I'm not talking about her past. I'm talking about her present and her future. No matter where you are, whether you're in your brokenness or your pride, come to the feet of Jesus. You know, there's a lot of pressure put on moms to perform, to look, to be held up to this standard, to be Instagram ready, to have a clean house and well-behaved children, to have appearances met. And here we have this woman who says, I don't care what you think of me and my life. I'm going to come exactly how I am. I'm going to come to the feet of Jesus, and I'm going to do it in front of everybody. That's how important that it is. And so that is my encouragement to the moms and really to all of us, is wherever you are in this moment, whether it is a moment of pride or shame, come to the feet of Jesus and do it in front of people. Allow them to see you even in the midst of the dirtiest of your moments, because then they can see how much Christ loves you. That he is willing to push all of that aside and say, you are still my child. There are no sins that I cannot wash away, nothing that I cannot handle. Continue to come to me, and I will love you. If you are a mom, if you are in a position where young children are looking at you on a regular basis, what better example can you give for them than to come to the feet of Jesus and allow him to rescue you? This is the example that we are to set. Nowhere does Jesus expect us to be perfect. Yes, we are called to it. Time and time again, Jesus says, go and sin no more. But he knows that tomorrow there's going to be sin in your life, and the day after that, and the day after that. The thing that he calls us to is to return to his feet. So allow the children in your life to see you doing that. Returning to the feet of Jesus, to allow your tears to flow because you are so thankful for what he has done for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am so very thankful. I am one who is deeply grateful because much has been forgiven. Lord, we all are. I pray that you would help us to gain a better sense of that. I pray that you would continue to encourage the mothers in this room, whatever form that looks like, that you would encourage them, that you would give them strength, that you would remind them that you see them, that you value them, that you appreciate them. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.